these days, because a lot of people have lost their minds and they're just they're following that big-eared guy. I guess if I drew a cartoon of Obama and gave him elephant flap ears, somebody would say, "You're talking about, yes, he got big ears." Wait a minute. Let me leave it alone. All the better to hear you with, my friend. Did you believe him when he said in the speech that we don't torture anybody? Wait a minute. You look, let me tell you something. In this country, in this nation, when you have an enemy, if you want something out of that enemy and that enemy is captured and that enemy know that we don't torture you, the enemy wouldn't even fear being captured, because we're going to capture our enemy. We're going to put him up in the Hilton. We're going to feed our enemy steak and eggs, and we're going to say, "Where did the insurgents plant the bombs to blow us up?" And they're going to say, "I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you." And all we're going to do is just put him back in his cell and give him steak and eggs, and we're not going to torture him to get the information. Do you really believe that? I am serious. Do you really, in your heart of hearts, believe that lie? You've got to be the craziest person in the world. You don't run a country like that. You don't feed your enemy steak and eggs. You lay them down on a table and drip water on their forehead until they're waiting on the next drip, which is going to psychologically send them into, you know, the vortex of insanity. And they're going to scream out, "The bomb is planted here and there's 14 of us over there." And then our guys are going to go get them. Now, how do you think they got that information? By rubbing their forehead and playing tiptoe through the tulips by Tiny Tim. Can't believe this country is so naive. But that's all right, because that's another story altogether. Let's get back to the text, because I said verse 21 through 31. Verse 29 says, "And departing from there, Jesus went alone by the Sea of Galilee, and having gone up to the mountain, he was sitting there. And a great multitude came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, dumb, and many others. They laid down at his feet, and he healed them. So that the multitude marveled as they saw the dumb speaking, the cripple restored, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel." Now, up on top of that, the people came with the questions about Jesus. So it is because they could not deny Jesus' extraordinary powers, but they were trying to convince themselves, that is the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You have to go back to Matthew 16, verse 1. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to test Jesus. That's what we're talking about. Why did they do that? They couldn't deny it. They were trying to convince themselves that God had no play in this man's life at all. In the very same way, the world will try to convince themselves that God has no play in our lives. I got to give you a response to what my sister said when I tried to share with her why she was afraid. She found out that that lump on her breast was not cancerous. She no longer needed me to pray for her, and nor did she want me to continuously communicate with her how she could no longer fear death. Proves that my sister is lost, because that's the way lost people are. They only enlist your prayers or solicit your prayers because they think that they're going to die. And note that she is going to go to a person that she knows is a real pastor, because she thinks that I have some kind of secret code with God, that if I ask God, let me tell you people something. You need to stop going to God, asking God to do something in your life, and you don't even have enough belief in him to accept the fact that if he killed you, you should be happy with that. Hypocrites, that's not what Christianity is about. But like I said, I'm like the first century mode of Christianity, not this newfangled stuff. I don't want to die. I want to live forever, and I want to have everything, and I want 5 cars, a big house, and yeah, right. Let me keep moving. Why would these Pharisees and Sadducees choose to confront Christ in such a way? Well, let's look a little bit. Let's get a little human here. Did they really want to see manna fall from heaven? You know, when you and go to Exodus chapter 12 and you read the account in the book of Exodus, and then again you go to John. I think I'll go to that account, John chapter 6, verse 32. Why don't you go there with me? John 6 and 32 reads like this. It says, Jesus therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say unto you, it is not Moses who has given you bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. Do you know what the implication of that was? Pharisees hated Jesus because he said, I am the manifestation of the food that you need for your soul. Now, that's offensive to a lot of people. One person put it this way, says, these bitter foes driven by envy would not have ascribed, would not have stated that Jesus was doing his works by the power of evil. Yes, they would have stated that because you know what? That's what they wanted to believe. Look at verse, I believe it's Mark chapter 3, and we want to look at verse 22. Mark chapter 3, verse 22, it reads like this. The scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, he is possessed by Beelzebub. In other words, Jesus is possessed by a demon. And he cast out the demons by the ruler of demons. Now, let me show you how wicked and twisted the Pharisees were. Why would a demon-possessed man cast out a demon of another person? If a man was doing the work by a demon, he wouldn't cast his own self out. But that shows you how lost they are. And that's why when a person would vote for somebody that would murder and kill babies and have a wicked plan of destroying the future of Americans for literally 100 years or more down the pike, if that's not wickedness, I don't know what is. But, you know, we're not supposed to say that because we've been taught in schools and everywhere else to be politically correct. That means, don't have your brain functioning. Now, let's take a closer look at why Jesus changes his kingdom message to his disciples. Let's look at point number one, renewed cravings for signs disguised as validity. That's what I see in verse one, a renewed craving for signs disguised as validity. Now, that's where the church is today, because the church is constantly looking for signs. That's why they look at TBN. I'm proud to say that I haven't watched that station in so many years. I don't know what's going on there. I don't even know what they show. I can't remember the last time, honestly, that I sat down and turned on TBN and watched it, because I don't watch it. I don't watch that like I don't watch regular television. And I tell you, Christian, something, the better off you are if you don't watch that mess. Verse 1 of Matthew chapter 16 says, Pharisees and Sadducees came to test Jesus, asking him to show them a sign from heaven. Now, we must fully understand that tradition has it that these were bitter opponents of Jesus's from day one. I want you to note Paul's dealing with these and in this particular behavior, because once you look at the way that Paul is dealing with it in his writing in the Pauline epistles, and because Paul was one of these Pharisees. Remember when he set out to kill the Christians in the first century before he got saved? Wow. See, these had a common enmity against Christians and against Christ. But now they join forces in common alliances as they participate in this testing of our Lord. You know, when it says that they may tempt him, and I want to take you deeper into that because there's something in there, you know, that they might, you know, they said that they were testing him. Let's look at this, because in some translation, the word says tempt. Okay, tempt is in the present participle, which indicates that their malicious purpose, where it's coming from in the first place. Okay, the purpose in coming in the first place was to test him. In other words, they didn't come to see if they might test him. They came to test him. The purpose of the enemy always was to tempt Jesus, to put him to the test. Why? Because they had a hope with the expectation that he would fail. And that's what they are going to attempt to do to us as Christians if you're living like a true Christian in the first century mode. Now, if you're living like a sham Christian, if you're around here following these fake apostles and giving all your money to these pimped out churches and all that kind of stuff, and you affirm your bishop, and man, you know what? I'm just going to tell you like it is. I am a pastor, but don't follow me. Please don't follow me. Because once you follow me, you've been duped. I would say, listen to me as I teach you the Bible and investigate and make sure that everything that I'm telling you about this text is correct. You don't even have to follow me politically. You can vote for Obama if you want to. It's not going to do you any good with God. Why did they test him? They tested him to see whether. In other words, the Pharisee are joined with the Sadducees in their efforts to expose Jesus to public embarrassment and loss of face. I was talking with some guys yesterday because I do research on a couple of my computers. I go on some questionable website. I want to see what these people are looking at, see what these people are doing. I spent enough time there doing research, reading a lot of things on some computers. All right, somebody break in, take my computers and say, look where he's been on his computers. You think I'm going to lie? I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I've been on there. That was me. This is in my house, in my studio. What's the matter with you? I can look at anything I want to look at. Well, if you're a Christian, you wouldn't look at that. I'm sorry. Look at anything I want to look at. Now, if they come and they find a bunch of child pornography on my computer and tell you that I'm looking at that, that's a lie. I'm going to say, that's a lie. I didn't go to that site. I went to that site, but I didn't go to that site. Because I have no reason to go on a site looking at naked children. I don't want to see no naked children. See what I mean? But when they set you up like the Pharisee and the Sadducee was setting up Jesus. That's what they'll do. And with this modern technology now and all these computers, friends, they can set you up in a quick minute. It would take no time for them to set you up and scandalize your name. That's why the Pharisee and the Sadducee was doing this to Jesus. So thus we see a concerted effort to destroy the one who they consider to be their enemy, who is becoming more determined. Jesus feeding all these people, performing these miracles, healing these people. They said, come on, man. We can't have this. And that's why I want you Christians to know that when the switch comes, and we're very close to this switch coming right now. That's why I feel like many of you feel these great depressions coming on us, because you know it, because we're a part of a system that we're really not a part of. You understand? The Greek term is parazo. In other words, this is an attempt to entice to sin. This is why they did this to Jesus. It holds the meaning as exemplified in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. Why don't you go there with me? Hope that you're enjoying this study. Hebrews 11, 29. Then you get a better idea. He says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians were then attempting it, were drowned. See what I'm talking about? Okay, so it holds this meaning of an attempt to entice. And so the Egyptians, in this sense, were attempting to do what God had done to them, but no. It did not work. Let me give you a clear one. Acts 16 and 7. Go there with me. Excuse me. Acts chapter 16, verse 7. I want you guys to know this is very important. Here it is. And when they had come to Messai, they were trying to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. You see this enticing? That's what they were trying to do to Jesus. Within our context, these were human efforts to prove God, which were signs of unbelief. In other words, give us a sign. We need to try you with that question and so that you can prove to us who you really are. If he had started a whirlwind, a hurricane right over them, because Jesus could have done it. He could have, if he had opened the earth with an earthquake, they still wouldn't have believed him. They would have killed him. You can read the book of Revelation and see that after Jesus has his millennial reign for 1,000 years, what are they going to try to do to him? Whack him at the end of that. Don't, my friends, that is the way it is. The term here is to test the quality or the particular character of something or someone. Let me give you another scripture, maybe that I can help you understand that, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It says, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. See, there it is. There it is. See the character. See, the character is not provoked. In other words, a provoking, show us who you are. We are pushing you to do that. In the same way, we can see that Satan uses the Matthew 4 text, 1 through 4, as an attempt to defeat the works of Jesus. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. After Jesus had been fasting for so many days. This was a method of carrying out a desire which acquired the meaning of to try out or to make a trial of or to investigate or to look into. I'm giving you all of this because this is all of these wonderful definitions is what you get out of this as you put the study into this. This refers to the competition against other persons. See, Christians, this is what's going to happen to us. And I hope that some of you can download some of these studies or do something to keep them until we don't have any more time to do this, because they are not going to let the true cult of Christianity continue. No, they can't do that. Now, those of you that are listening to me that are playing with this deal, doesn't matter, because you're going to take the mark of the beast and you're going to go along with the program anyhow. See, but they know that there is going to be large numbers enough that they would have to. And look, man, I got to say this. They're already building the places to enslave us as cattle. Some professing Christians have already given up and said, no, I can't take that. I got a family. I got a life. I'll just do what I'm going to do, and I'm going to get out of this mode. I'm going to stop looking at this. I'm going to stop sharing with other people about this because, no, I'm not going to go to that extent. I'm not willing. And they know that they're compromising themselves, but they're afraid. Especially some Christians that are working in law enforcement. They know these things are being set up, and they know why it's being set up, and they made the decision to compromise themselves. You have to understand, that's how serious this is. We are right on the brink of coming into something. And I have never seen it so blatant in my life. But it is here, and it will remain here, and it will affect us as a Christian population. So, you know what this means? It refers to the competition against other persons, a means to measure oneself against someone else, or to try one's luck against another person, to strive for someone's favor, to woo someone by virtue, leading them into temptation by virtue of attack upon them, to know it by experience. Now, I'm telling you, this is what the Pharisee and the Sadducee were doing to Jesus. And my friends, I just got to share this with you. This is what they would do to you. It says in the verse, it says, what of this sign? The Greek is simeon, okay, which is some kind of display which confirms the unbeliever's attempt to know. In other words, give us a display and so that we will know who you are. That would be like someone saying, John, so if they pass a law in this country to turn in your firearms, I heard you say that you, no, I don't want to turn mine in to the government. Why? Because I'm no threat to the government. Why would the government need my firearm? I don't understand. Well, why do you need a firearm? I need it for protection. Well, we'll protect you. You can't protect me. I'm living in the middle of the ghetto in Los Angeles. I call what I got to be doing, gurgling up blood out of my goozled throat, cut and say my throat is cut. I'm bleeding. I'm losing consciousness. Please send someone to help me. You probably type my address into the system and say, no, he's an undesirable person.